The word of the Lord said, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place." Amen. That's what we're talking about tonight, about a nail in a sure place. Amen. Praise God. Do you ever drive a nail in an unsure place? Amen. I have. Did you ever try to hang anything on one that was in an unsure place? It'll come down if it don't have anything to support it. Amen. Now they try to make it easy, I suppose. They got these stud finders. You know, you're supposed to be able to spot it, right? Some of us are not good with the technology still, but I just still drive little holes with a little nail till I find it. Amen. Then I go get some putty and put in all those little holes. Amen. It works. Amen. Because I want it to hold if I'm going to put something on it. Amen. Praise God. We want a nail in a sure place. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. In Bible times, houses were not made of wooden studs and sheetrock like our houses are built. Those houses were mainly built of brick and clay. So when they were planning the house, they planned where they were going to put the stakes. They planned where they would put the pegs. Some of them were pegs that actually were holding. They were joints that were holding things together. Others were had the utilitarian service of hanging clothes and pots and pans or whatever. They were always very important. Houses back then, and just the normal house, didn't have closets like you have today. Nor did they have a lot of clothes in the closet like you have today. You know, when people used to weave everything by hand, clothes were very costly compared to what you pay for something today. You think things are high today, it's nothing compared to what it was then. And so garments, you didn't have a lot unless you were very wealthy. And they had to last a long, long time. And so they would hang them with care, put them in a place. And so they would put those pegs. The scripture says nails, but Bible tells them more like pegs. And they would just put them either wood or iron. And they'd put them in the walls, strategic places. And they would hang things on them. So the Lord is speaking here of one of his servants by the name of Eliakim. Eliakim was the treasurer. He had the key to the treasury of the Lord. He had a very responsible position. And he was an honored man. And the Lord was speaking of him, saying, "I will put him as a nail in a sure place. He's somebody that I can count on. He's somebody that I can hang things on." Amen. And it's not going to fall apart. Amen. It's important tonight that God can have confidence in us. We talk a lot about having confidence in God. But how much confidence can God put in you and me today? Can the Lord count on you? Can the Lord depend on you? If he needs somebody to do something, can he depend on you? Can the Lord depend on you to be faithful? Amen. That's good, Brother Ferguson. I believe he can. Amen. We got to also be dependable. And we talk about depending on God, but did you know God is also depending on us? Amen. You've heard it said, and it's so true. We're his hands, and we're his feet. Amen. We speak for the Lord in this day. We are the body of Christ in the earth. We represent him. We are his ambassadors to this world. God has put a lot of confidence in you and me. And we need to be dependable. Hallelujah. The scripture talks of such a man, doesn't it? I like the story of Enoch. It's always exciting and thrilling to read the story. It's not a long story. Amen. Enoch, I don't know what he did the first 65 years of his life. But after his son was born, the Bible said, then Enoch began to walk with the Lord. And from that time on, he was faithful. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. He was a nail in a sure place. You could depend on Enoch. He was going to be steadfast. Amen. Praise God. You could count on him. He was dependable. Noah was somebody that was dependable. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when God was getting ready to send a flood upon the earth, and he wanted to have mercy, and he told Noah to build the ark, he found a faithful man that he could count on. It took a long time. It took a lot of labor. Not only a lot of labor, but a lot of patience. People scoffed and mocked and made fun of him, but he just kept building. He was a nail in a sure place. God could count on Noah to get the job done. Amen. God could count on Job. Job's job was to be faithful. And he was faithful. Hallelujah. I know of no other person in Scripture where the Bible said the devil was going to and fro on the earth, and Jesus said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a faithful man. Amen. And the devil said, well, you let me take all of his stuff, and he won't be so faithful. And God said, you can take his stuff, but you can't take his life. And he started taking stuff. First of all, he took all of his tractors. I mean his oxen and his donkeys. And then he took all of his trucks. I mean his camels. And then he took away his product. That is his 7,000 sheep that he used for food and for garments and for wool. And he took all of that away. And then he took his family. His seven sons and his three daughters. And when all of that happened, you talk about one thing after the other. Soon as one servant left, another one would come. And that one would leave, and another one would come. And that one would leave, and another one would come. And finally, when the last one left, after seeing your sons and your daughters are dead, the Bible said, Job just simply said, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Some people love the first verse. The Lord giveth. Everybody likes to sing that verse. Gimme, 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 Lord. It's hard to sing the second verse. And the Lord taketh away. Not too many people sing that verse. A lot of people lose out with God over that verse. And there's fewer still that sing the third verse. But blessed be the name of the Lord. No wonder Job was a nail in a sure place. He was steadfast when it would have been so easy to give up. But he didn't do it. Amen. I had a little problem a month or so ago. I don't know what it was. Still don't know what it was. I thought it was a spider bite. But I'm telling you, friend, that thing was sore. It hurt. And I don't want to get gross, but it was runny and ugly and horrible. And it hurt for a week before anything even developed. It just plain hurt. And then it hurt for another week, and it was just tough. But you know what? Job had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and it went down to the dump ground, Amen. What do we call it today? The sanitary landfill or whatever. He went down and he got him some broken pottery. And he started scraping those old sores. Amen. To make it feel better. And his friends came and stared at him for 7 days, speechless. And then started accusing him of everything under the sun. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, it was tough there for a while. He didn't have any encouragers. His comforters really were accusers. Amen. And that's right. Even his own faithful spouse said, "Do you maintain your integrity still? Curse God and die." I guess she was getting ready to get another one, you know. She got rid of that one. All of his stuff was gone. Didn't have anything left. Broken in his health. I don't know if they did for better or for worse back then or not, richer and poor. If it was, she wasn't singing that song. Amen. She was ready to get rid of Job and get her another one, I suppose. Curse God and die. But he didn't. He was a nail in a sure place. Amen. Begin to pray for his accusers. And God began to rain blessings down on Job. Amen. He found out, you know what? I can hang a lot on Job and he'll stand the test. He's steadfast. Amen. The Babylonian captivity was a terrible thing when the armies came in and conquered Judah. Carried all the choice princes and young men into captivity. Well, those that would have been serving in the courts of Judah were carried away as captives. Found themselves in a strange land, captives to a strange king. One of the first things that the king did was change their names. Amen. Their Bible names are what we really like. Daniel means God is my judge. Amen. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. Mishael means who is like the Lord. Azariah means the Lord is my helper. Amen. Let me tell you something. The world may try to change your name, but don't you let them change it. Amen. Praise God. You hold steadfast. Hallelujah. And they don't like our name. Amen. At least our family name. If you're in the family, you apply the name of Jesus to your life through the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. And that's how we are born into that family. And that's where we receive our family name. And don't ever change that name. Amen. Don't ever change that name. Amen. And so they were in a strange land. Everything was different. They were captives. Didn't look like they had much of a future. But they just began to apply themselves. And the Bible says that God gave them grace with the king. And he saw, man, they were 10 times smarter than everybody else. That's smart. Amen. I'm telling you, Daniel was a sharp cookie. He was a brilliant man. And so was Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. They were all brilliant men. And they went far in the kingdom until people began to conspire against them and deceive the king into signing a law that said, anybody that worships any other god but the God you tell us to worship, let's throw them in a fiery furnace. Anybody that prays to anybody but your God, let's throw them in a den of lions. Well, that's what happened, wasn't it? Amen. They threw Daniel in the den of lions. Now, sometimes people say, and I've said it too, a lion's den. I'm not afraid of a lion's den. As long as the lion's not there, I don't care. But the Bible doesn't say it was a lion's den. It said it was a den of lions. That's a whole different story. Amen. And the Bible said, but the Lord shut the lion's mouth. Amen. And Daniel just leaned over on old Leo and went to sleep. Amen. The king didn't sleep. He ran down the next morning and hadn't slept. Daniel, Daniel, was your God able to keep you? Long live the king, he said. Amen. And you know what? As soon as they threw those guards in there that had deceived, those lions regained their appetite, lost their lockjaw, and had a wonderful breakfast. Amen. God protected Daniel because he said, I found somebody that I can count on. He's like a nail in a sure place. Amen. The other three that were thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than ever been. Amen. Even the men that threw them in were consumed with the flames. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said that they looked down in there, and after a while they got a little puzzled. They said, didn't we throw three men bound in the fire? He said, yeah, we did. He said, I see a fourth man, and it looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The only thing the fire could burn was the fetters that they put them in with. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you today, do you believe God can still do something like that? Amen. Amen. Pray. Do you really believe God could still do something like that? I believe He could. Amen. I believe He does. Amen. I'm not really looking forward to putting it to the test. But I tell you what, His grace is sufficient. That's why we don't need to worry and build up a lot of fears about things. I hear people worried about, I don't know if I'll be able to go through tribulation or not. Well, if it comes, you will. Amen. Because He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Whatever comes, you'll be able to go through it. Because He's going to give you the grace to do it. Amen. You don't have it right now because you're not going through it. Amen. But these men were like a nail in a sure place. And they represented God and His kingdom well. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were someone that God could depend on. So how are we doing, folks? Am I a nail in a sure place? Are you a nail in a sure place? It's good to ask ourselves the question now and then. Am I a nail in a sure place? Amen. Oh, Jesus was surely a nail in a sure place. You talk about a difficult life. I hear people, the reason that people are the way they are because they're born in poverty. Well, He was born in poverty. Well, the reason that He's like that is because they're born in a hated minority. He was a hated minority. Well, you have to understand, they're like that because they didn't know who their father was. Well, He knew who His father was, but other people were confused about it. And the gossips were alive and well in Nazareth. He grew up with that all of his life, hanging around his neck. Amen. Yeah, sure, God's your father. Yeah, right. All of his life he grew up with that. Amen. But he was faithful through it all. The Bible said that he was tempted in all ways, like as we are, yet without sin. He never gave in. Always, He was faithful. Amen. A nail in a sure place. Amen. He was nailed. Yes, he was. He was nailed to a cross for you and for me. Amen. The scripture said, and I believe speaking prophetically of Jesus, he said, I will fashion him like a nail in a sure place. Jesus is sure. He endured it all, didn't he? He's the cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone is so important because it ties everything together, and it determines the stability, and it determines the correctness of the building as it's put together. Everything has to line up with the cornerstone. Everything has to line up with the cornerstone. Amen. And you know, we have a hard time in our culture understanding that today, because we want to be like Frank Sinatra and do it our way. Amen. But we got to line up to the cornerstone. I can't do it my way, Brother Hart. I've got to do it his way. I've got to go back and one more time prostrate myself before the Lord and say, Jesus, make me fit here. I've heard people say, I don't fit in here. Well, he's going to work on you. Hang around and he'll get you where you fit. Amen. The Bible said that we are fitly framed together. Amen. I don't know about you, but whenever, every time I've ever done any building, you know, I probably had to do some cutting. And then I had to do a little sanding to get things to fit right. If you don't care how it looks, then you can build it how you want to. But he's building the house of the Lord. And he wants it right. He wants something that's going to stand the storm. Amen. That's not going to fall apart. And something that's going to glorify him. Something that's going to be beautiful. And so he's going to make us fit. Hello? Is that all right? Amen. We're so used to, you know, going and having it our way. Go to Burger King, have it your way. Amen. You go in the cafeteria so you can go down and I want some of that, and I don't want any of that. I want some of that. I don't want that. Amen. Even on the sit-down menu. Well, could I substitute this because I don't really want that? Could I have this instead of that? You see, we're so used to having our way. Amen. And but hear me and hear me very well. Jesus is not so concerned because he knows where he wants you and where he needs you. And he needs you to be a nail in a sure place. So he's going to put you in a place that he wants you to be. I said he's going to put you in a place where he wants you to be. When you're trying to find a stud in the wall, do you know how you know when you missed it? When it's easy to drive. You're tapping it and all of a sudden it goes, whoo! And you say, I missed it. Missed it. So you pull it out and you move over a little bit and you hit it again. And all of a sudden, boom, it hits something tough. And you say, now we're working. Amen. It's going to be hard to put it in there, but it's going to stay when I get it there. Amen. Sometimes in the Christian life, it's going to be hard to get where you need to be and become what he wants you to be. But when you get there, no matter how tough it is, you're going to stay. And God needs some people that will stay. How many have you seen come and go? You and I, if we've lived this Christian life a while, we've seen a lot of folks come and a lot of folks go. We've seen some that were pretty flashy. My, did they shine with promise. But they couldn't be shaped. And God couldn't fit them in where he needed them to be. And they would not be a nail in a sure place. Amen. We gotta be something he can. It may be a little tough, but we need to go in the place where he wants us. Now, and the second thing he said, he shall hang upon him all the glory of his Father's house. Hallelujah. You know, we pray sometimes for miracles and healings and signs and wonders, and we should. But you know what? Before God uses you in that arena, he needs to make sure you're going to be in a sure place. Because there's a lot of folks that God has gifted with great gifts, but when they hung his glory on them, they crumbled and fell apart. They took his glory to themselves. Amen. So you see, God wants somebody that he can hang his glory on, and we'll not take the glory unto ourselves, but we'll just reflect the glory of the Lord. So we've got to get ourselves to the place where we don't take any glory, but we make sure that he gets it all. Jesus is a nail in a sure place. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a nail in a sure place. You can depend on him. You can depend on him. No matter what happens, you can depend on him. One of the sad, tragic things happened. A missionary had gone to a foreign country. He was not a nail in a sure place. He got mixed up with another woman over there, had some children by that woman. Sad situation. His wife was coming home with her children, leaving her husband and his other bride behind. Her heart was broken. Her future was so uncertain. She was flying across those many, many, many miles across the ocean, trying to get back home. And as she was coming, her mind full of questions, she's saying, "Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it?" And the Lord just reminded her of one thing. He said, "You are complete in me. You are complete in me." Amen. Now what it said? "In him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." Now, you're not complete without him, but you are complete in him. In Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. And he will be everything that we need. He's Alpha and Omega. That means he's the whole alphabet. And anything you can make out of the alphabet, that's what he'll be. If you can make a word for it, or even if you can't. That's why he gave us tongues, wasn't it, Brother Hart? He said, if you get to the place where you can't even tell me what you need, he said, I'll send you moanings and groanings. Amen. And you'll speak in tongues and you'll tell me what you need and what you want. Amen. I mean to tell you, friend, we're complete in him. And he's thought this all through. He's the nail in the sure place. He'll not move when you need him. Amen. Everything else is going to fail. Everything else will change. But he said, I change not. You know why? Because he's perfect. And if you're perfect, you don't need to change. All of us need to change because we're not there yet. Amen. It's a nail in a sure place. Amen. I read a story some time ago that I've really enjoyed, and I've tried to learn from it. There was a man that went to work, and he was a carpenter, and he got to his job, worked hard all day, got ready to go home, went over, and wouldn't you know it, he'd driven over a nail, and his tire was flat. He got his spare out, and guess what? His spare was flat. His friend came over and said, Could I give you a ride? And so they took the spare, dropped it off where it could get fixed, and so he could pick it up the next morning and take it back, and so he'd have it the next day. So he took the man, his friend drove him over to his house, and the man gets out of his friend's truck and thanks him for the ride, and he starts up the sidewalk to his house, and all of a sudden he detours over to the right. And he goes over to a big tree and he stands there for just a minute. And then he reaches over and he gets as if he picks something off of his back, and he didn't see anything. His friend was watching him, and it's as if he just hung it on the tree. And then he turned around with a big smile on his face. And he walked up to the door and entered the door, and his children grabbed him. His wife was there to greet him. And his friend was puzzled what he did. And so the next day he said, I want to ask you, he said, what did you do when you went over to that tree? He said, it's as if you just totally changed. He said, I could tell you were a little down, but when you turned around, you were smiling. And the man said, he said, that's my trouble tree. He said, I don't want to take my troubles to my family. They have troubles of their own. He said, So when I come home, if I've had difficulties all day, he said, I just go over to the trouble tree and I take all of my troubles and I just hang it on that tree. And then he said, I turn around and I go in to be with my family and I don't carry my troubles into my home. And the guy said, everybody needs a trouble tree. Amen. And guess what? You've got one. It's called Calvary. You can take all of your troubles. You can take all of your problems. You can take all of your disappointments. You can take all of your sorrows. You can take all of your difficulties. You can take all of your bitterness. And you can take it and hang it on Calvary and leave it there. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's got a trouble tree. Amen. And we can leave it there. Would you stand with me? Amen. Like a nail in a sure place. That's what I want to be. Jesus, that's what I want you to help me to be. I want to be a nail in a sure place. A lot is depending on us here today. Amen. Brother Neil, you were saying it earlier that a lot depends on you because you know this truth. But that's not just that just apply to you. That applies to everybody in this building. Every one of us. Amen. We need to feel that responsibility keenly. Amen. We need to be aware that we are His witnesses. And that we are His representatives, His ambassadors. Amen. And we've got to be careful in our life. We can't just fly off the handle when we feel like it. We can't just give people a piece of our mind when we feel like it. We can't just give in and act any old way and excuse ourselves. Because we've got a responsibility. Hello? We've got a responsibility. We've got to take the high road, folks. We've got to take a high road. Yes, we do. Because we represent Jesus Christ every day. We've got to watch how we talk. We've got to watch how we live. We've got to watch what we do. Amen. We've got to be very careful how we live our lives because we represent Jesus Christ. And we've got to be a nail in a sure place. Athens, Texas needs some nails in sure places. They need some folks they can count on. I went to Bible college with a young man that, he was full of potential and promise and ability. Great preacher, great singer, great musician. But he got hurt in ministry, got disappointed, and he took a different direction. He still pastors a church. Matter of fact, he pastors a very, very large church. But it doesn't preach this message anymore. But his father is still in this truth and preaches this message. And he's always asking his father about this church. And he's always saying, "Dad, how's the standard? Y'all keeping the standard?" He doesn't keep the standard. But you know what? He wants a nail in a sure place. He wants to know that somebody's still preaching the message. He wants to know that somebody still believes the truth. Somebody's still holding the standard. Amen. It makes him nervous when he hears gossip. Amen. About this one and that one sliding and slipping away. And he said, are they still holding, Dad? Are they still? Yeah, he wants to know that there's a nail in the sure place. And that's who we are. Amen. We have a responsibility. Amen. Why don't we spend a little time with the Lord here tonight and ask God to help us to fit where he wants us to fit. To be the nail that he can drive where he needs to drive it. Amen. Not just through the softness of the sheetrock, but he can drive me dead center into an old, hard oak piece of wood. Amen. Force my way into the heart of that wood so that I'll be able to, whatever he hangs on me, that I won't give way and crumble beneath the load. Amen, Jesus, I want to be faithful. You said it's required in stewards that they remain faithful. You didn't say we have to be flashy or beautiful or super intelligent, greatly gifted or wealthy, but you did say that we have to be faithful. That's what you need. Just somebody you can count on. Just somebody you can depend on. Just somebody that'll say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Hallelujah. "Here am I, Lord. Use me."